High Noon Saloon presents Natty Nation's Almost 420 Reggae Party on Saturday, April 19th at 7 p.m. Natty Nation blends authentic reggae with elements of rock, soul, and funk to create a unique Midwestern sound. Natty are joined by Czar, a genre-bending collective that blends the sounds of psychedelic rock with groovy, rhythmic soul and funk, along with your hosts, DJs Trichome and VPS. More information can be found at high-noon.com. The High Noon Saloon presents Natty Nation's Almost 420 Reggae Party with special guests Czar and hosted by DJs Trichome and VPS on Saturday, April 19th at 7 p.m. at the High Noon Saloon. Live music lives at WORT Madison.
Welcome to Radio Literature, Madison's weekly look at poetry, fiction, nonfiction, theater, and experimental writing for readers of all ages. Settle in for a half hour of conversation on radio literature. Here's your host, Melvin Hinton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Literature. Last week, I promised you some very special guests, and here they are. We have Sam White, Joshua Woolfolk, Amelia Eichmeier, and Jason Compton, all from Madison Shakespeare Company. Hello, everybody.
Good evening.
Hi, Melvin. Pleasure to be with you.
Hello, Melvin.
Yeah, Jason.
Yes, sir.
Of course, everybody who listens to Radio Literature regularly knows who you are. And I was just thinking, and this is not the first time I've meditated on this. I usually recognize the names of the people that you send me. And when I see them on the screen, I usually recognize the faces. But I can't connect the faces and the names. There's been so many people on this program through the years, and of course I've seen so many people in theaters performing, giving us great performances, so it's really hard to keep up with all the names and the faces. So I appreciate it when now and then I'm out somewhere, not recently, but in general, when people come up to me and then they say, well, I'm so-and-so. And I say, oh, yeah, good to see you again. And I do recognize the faces often, usually, but I just don't remember the name until they say it. It's like I remember when I was getting ready to leave Spain, I was so sad. I didn't want to leave. I couldn't make up my mind what to do. And finally, I decided to come back to the United States. I was so sad, though. And I was at the Madrid Book Fair. Maybe a month before I left, and this woman came up to me and said, hi, do you remember me? You were my first English teacher. And of course, I didn't remember her. I mean, she looked, you know, a beautiful Spanish woman, and she had one of the typical Spanish faces, but I couldn't say that I remembered her in particular. But I was so sad, and I was so sad that I couldn't tell her that I remembered her. But
well, I'm happy that we've brought you some new faces and voices, at least.
Yeah. Well, I'm always glad to hear and new voices, see new faces. But I like the old faces as well. And I'm sure that Joshua Woolfolk has been on this program before.
It's been a while, but it's a pleasure to be back, Melvin. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I remember the first time you were on, I asked you if you were from Ohio or had any relatives in Ohio. Do you remember that?
Or you know what? I do. And now, as then, sadly, no Ohioan relatives to speak of.
Do you remember why I asked you that?
I do not.
Yeah, because I had a college, 1 year, I had a college roommate whose name was Woolfolk.
Sure.
From Ohio. And I thought, well, you know, there's a chance. Who knows?
Listen, we're everywhere.
But anyway, and Sam White, I know that name, and I would be willing to bet that you have been on this program before, even though maybe it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been more than a few times over the years, and we've actually, I think we've even worked together, Melvin.
Yeah, when I saw your picture there, I thought, you know, maybe that was the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been around for a while.
Yeah. And of course, Amelia Eichmeier, I'm not sure I pronounced your name the way you do, because it's probably been a bit Americanized. I don't know. How do you pronounce it?
I pronounce it Eichmeier, but the German Eichmeier is much appreciated.
Yeah, I love the German language. Do you speak German?
No, I do not.
Okay, that's fine. There are too many languages in the world. I wish there were only, I don't know, 10. But anyway, and I've never, that's one of my regrets, that I haven't had time. Life isn't long enough. Days aren't long enough. Years aren't long enough to do everything we want to do. But I would love to have developed my abilities in the German language. Let's see. Let's start with... let's see, I numbered these things. Where was number two? I think I was starting with Sam, because you are the director of this upcoming production, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So I noticed that you were working with American Players Theater last year?
Yes, last summer I had the opportunity to go out to play a role for them. It was It was quite remarkable.
Yeah.
It was a serious dream come true, Melvin. Absolutely.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. What role were you playing?
I played Virgis in Much Ado About Nothing, the Dogberry's sidekick, elderly sidekick, I should say.
Okay. So are you still going to act for us in the future, or are you just going to direct from now on?
Oh, well, we'll see what's going on. Actually, I shall be appearing in Forward Theater's first show of their next season, Primary Trust. So I'll be appearing on stage there. And I have a few other directing gigs in the hopper right now, too. Mm-hmm. I'll be directing this summer out at Summer Stage of Delafield, directing the play An Inspector Calls. And then later in the fall, I'll be directing Shakespeare in Love with Stoughton Village Players. So I'm keeping pretty busy. Yeah.
Well, if you can, send me press releases or whatever you can send me about all these things that you're going to be doing.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Love to.
Okay. So, I mean, this is a question, of course. I never get tired of asking this question because I'm always... sometimes surprised by the responses, but I find them interesting always. And that is, do you have a favorite role, Sam?
So me, do I have a favorite role?
Yeah.
A favorite
role? I'm gonna ask everybody this.
That I've played in my career?
Yes.
Oh, that, it depends on the day. It really, seriously.
Oh,
I've had the opportunity to play some wonderful roles in my career. I look back and it's just kind of overwhelming. I think one of the most challenging roles I played was Rooster. I'm trying to remember his full name. Rooster in a play called Jerusalem that we did with Madison... Strollers Theater many years ago.
Okay.
And that was a big one, but most people don't know that role. So,
I think
my most challenging and fun role that I've ever played was probably Prospero in The Tempest.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jason, one of the headlines that I saw was "Finish the Story." Henry V caps an 8-year theatrical quest. Final chapter of Shakespeare's Henriade premieres May 2nd. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so the Henriade is a series of four historical dramas that Shakespeare wrote. The saga begins with Richard II, which is a relatively less popular history of Shakespeare's, but we put that on in 2017. It was actually our very first full-length indoor production. Josh Wolfuck, who is here with us as well, was part of that production. I was part of that production on stage and producing it. And we decided to keep going with that sequence. So each fall, 2017, 2018, 2019, we produced the next chapter in the Henriette. It goes from Richard II to Henry IV and then Henry IV Part II. Those are the two very popular Shakespeare histories because they have the character of Falstaff, who Sam White here played for us in both of those productions. And, you know, everybody, you know, there's a lot of fun with Falstaff's gang, and you know, the evolution of Prince Hal from, you know, kind of this miscreant to king is very very easy story to relate to, even if you don't know all the historical characters. And then the final chapter is Henry V, and we were not set to do it in 2020. Like, I don't want to say, oh, and then 2020 happened and we couldn't do it, because Henry V is actually a very challenging play to produce. It kind of, by its nature, it almost demands that you throw dozens and dozens of bodies at it to represent all of the combat and the action. And that's a very difficult thing to undertake. But we, you know, so it was easy to kind of set it aside for a while. But the knowledge that we hadn't finished Prince Hal's story, we had not shown the man becoming the king and what that meant, was out there. And so when Sam approached me about a year ago about directing for MSC, we very quickly zeroed in on what would it mean to do Henry V. And Sam had a concept that worked very well for what we do and how we do it, and actually bookends the story much like Richard II, which is another, you know, kind of, you know, multi-character, complex historical drama, but that story was put on with just like 13, 14 performers. And Sam said, yeah, I think we can do this with just 12 people. And we are. So stylistically, it bookends what we did 8 years ago with Richard II, and finally gives the audience a chance to see the end of that, you know, that struggle to replace a king, replace a lineage, and start a new chapter for England. And that's what Henry V will be bringing starting May 2nd.
And Melvin, I think it's only appropriate that Falstaff actually directs Henry V. You know, and I want an alibi. My favorite role easily was probably playing Falstaff. That was, yeah.
Okay.
At this moment, yeah, that's my favorite role for sure.
Yeah. And listening to Jason, I perceive that I've been mispronouncing Joshua's name, last name.
Oh, that's okay. It takes all stripes of pronunciation, Melvin. Wool, I always say wool like a sheep and folk like a folk song. Wool folk.
Oh, I think that's what I've been saying. I thought he said something different.
Listen, you guys are both doing a great job.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Josh. That's very supportive.
So, so why don't we, I guess we'll start with Henry's monologue.
Yeah, I'd love to tee that up. The heir to the French throne, the Dauphin, has sent an envoy to Henry's court with a gift that he says best fits Henry's interests, a box full of tennis balls.
We are glad the Dauphin is so pleasant with us. His present and your pains we thank you for. When we have matched our rackets to these balls, we will in France, by God's grace, play a set, shall strike his father's crown into the hazard. And we understand him well, how he comes o'er us with our wilder days, not measuring what use we made of them, but tell the Dauphin I will keep my state, be like a king, and show my sail of greatness when I do rouse me in my throne of France. I will but rise there with so full a glory that I will dazzle all the eyes of France, yea, strike the Dauphin blind to look on us. And tell the pleasant prince this mock of his hath turned his balls to gunstones, and his soul shall stand sure charged for the wasteful vengeance that shall fly with them. For many a thousand widows shall this his mock mock out of their dear husbands, mock mothers from their sons, mock castles down. So get you hence in peace. And tell the Dauphin his jest will savor but of shallow wit when thousands weep more than did laugh at it. Convey them with safe conduct. Fare you well.
That was Joshua Woolfolk. And the human voice, when it's been honed the way your voice has, is just such a marvelous thing. I keep hoping that more and more people will come to appreciate the human voice. Let's see. I read something in the press release referring to director Christopher William Walter, who I suppose directed the very first production of the Henry series.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
He apparently said, this was in 2016, I think, I had ideas about who all of these characters represent. Those ideas are all gone. You're all Trump. Everyone in this play is Trump.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, because
can you comment on that?
Well, I can, except I can't say that there's any great strategy to it. The fact is that we're producing all four chapters of the Henriette during Trump presidencies. That wasn't deliberate. At the time that we put Richard II on the calendar, you know, you would see simulations of, you know, Hillary Clinton winning 400 electoral votes. So that's why he said, you know, I had all these assumptions about what statements we would be making in a Hillary Clinton presidency. And then once we got to the table read, he said, forget it. Everybody here is Trump. Everybody here represents an aspect of Trump. So my point in pointing out that unintentional parallel is that, you know, you can go ahead and, like Chris Walter, you know, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say that Chris is a very intentionally political director, but you can tee up your story however you think it's going to be, and the world may shift around you. Similarly, when Sam and I said, let's put Henry V on the schedule, we did not think that was necessarily the foregone conclusion, but here we are. So, you know, even if you... Whether you are out to deliberately make political theater or whether you're simply telling stories on a stage, there's always going to be the political impact of whatever's going on around you. We can't put a world leader on stage without the audience mapping that to what they see in world leaders that they experience, you know, today. So no matter what we do, there's going to be a political impact telling any sort of, you know, story of negotiation and betrayal and conquest.
I have a question for Joshua before we go on to the next monologue, which I believe is Amelia. Is that Amelia or Amelia?
Amelia, thank you.
Amelia. Amelia as the boy. Just one quick question, Joshua.
Yeah.
Nothing that you don't want to refer to, or it's too painful or too personal, but why have you been absent for so long from Madison Shakespeare?
That's a very thoughtful question, Melvin. Thank you. Well, you know, like many of us, 2020 brought a lot of changes to my life. Obviously, the pandemic meant that I was doing a lot less activity, whether on stage or watching the stage. And then in July of 2020, my first child was born, my daughter, who's now 4.5 years old and wonderful and already a fan of theater herself. We were actually just this weekend at a groundbreaking production of Elephant and Piggy, We Are in a Play, which she really enjoyed. So becoming a father and all of the things that entails for your emotional energy and schedule meant that, a little leave of absence was merited. But it has been a real joy and a privilege to be back with the company. Obviously, Sam's direction is incredibly thoughtful and expert, working with incredibly talented actors like Amelia, who are so responsive and generous and, educating in the rehearsal room. Is a real privilege. And, you know, Jason always does a wonderful job of making sure that things are conducted with thoughtfulness and with intention. And like, we really all feel like we're here not just to have fun and, you know, do something with our free time, but to tell a story that is relevant, that's engaging, and that audience members are going to feel, not just entertained, but arrested by. And it's really been a pleasure to be back.
Thank you. So let's go on to our next monologue. I believe this is Amelia as the boy, isn't it?
Because only Josh plays a single character. Everybody else in the show has multiple characters. So Amelia has three. One of them is the boy that hangs out with Bardolph and Pistol and that old gang. So in this reading, this young boy who falls in with them, the ruffians still living from old Falstaff's gang, the boy follows them to war and sees their acts of cowardice, cruelty, and treason.
As young as I am, I have observed these three swashers. I am boy to them, all three, but all they three, would they serve me, could not be man to me, for indeed three such antics do not amount to a man.
For Bardolph, he is white-livered and red-faced, by the means whereof a faces it out, but fights not. For Pistol, he hath a killing tongue and a quiet sword, by the means whereof a breaks words and keeps whole weapons. Oh, and for Nim,
He hath heard that men of a few words are the best men, and therefore he scorns to say his prayers, Alesta should be thought a coward. But his few bad words are matched with as few good deeds, for it never broke any man's head but his own, and that was against a post when he was drunk. They will steal anything and call it a purchase. Bardolph stole a loot case, bore it 12 leagues, and sold it for 3 halfpence. Nim and Bardolph are sworn brothers in filching. They would have me as familiar with men's pockets as their gloves or their handkerchiefs, which makes much against my manhood. I must leave them and seek some better service. Their villainy goes against my weak stomach, and therefore I must cast it up.
Okay. Yes, I can hear the applause. Actually, I can see it in the studio. Let's see. Before I have a little conversation with Amelia, why don't we do the scene between Henry and Catherine?
Sure, we can go right into
Sounds
that.
Great.
This is late in the play. Henry has conquered the French, but he's got another challenge. In order to win the hand of Princess Catherine, he must tangle with the French language.
Fair Catherine, and most fair, will you vouchsafe to teach a soldier terms such as will enter at a lady's ear and plead his love suit to her gentle heart?
Your Majesty shall mock at me. I cannot speak your England.
Oh, fair Catherine, if you will love me soundly with your French heart, I will be glad to hear you confess it brokenly with your English tongue. Do you like me, Kate?
Pardonnez-moi, I cannot tell what is like me.
An angel is like you, Kate, and you are like an angel.
Que dit-il? Could you suis semblable à l'ange?
I said so, dear Catherine, and I must not blush to affirm it.
Oh, bon Dieu, les langues des hommes sont pleines de tromperies.
Faith, Kate, I am glad thou canst speak no better English. For if thou couldst, thou wouldst find me such a plain king that thou wouldst think I had sold my farm to buy my crown. I know no ways to mince it in love, but directly to say, I love you. Give me your answer, a faith, do, and so clap hands and a bargain. How say you, lady?
So foutre honneur, me understand well?
Before God, Kate, I speak to thee, plain soldier. If you would have such a one, take me, and take me, take a soldier. Take a soldier, take a king. And what sayest thou then to my love? Speak, my fair, and fairly, I pray thee.
Is it possible that I should love the enemy of France?
No, it is not possible you should love the enemy of France, Kate, but in loving me, you should love the friend of France. For I love France so well that I will not part with a village of it. I would have it all, mine. And Kate, when France is mine and I am yours, then yours is France and you are mine. But Kate, dost thou understand thus much English? Canst thou love me?
I cannot tell.
Can any of your neighbors tell, Kate? I'll ask them. Come, I know thou lovest me. If ever thou beest mine, Kate, as I have a saving faith within me, tells me thou shalt. What sayest thou, my fair flower de luce? How answer you, le plus belle Catherine du monde, mon très cher et devendez.
Your Majesty have a falsely French enough to deceive the most sage demoiselle that is en France.
Oh, that's one of my favorite scenes in all of theater. Oh, I love that.
It's very fun to do.
That was Joshua Woolfolk and Amelia Eichmeier. Amelia, you haven't finished college yet, have you?
Nope. I am a sophomore studying acting and vocal performance at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
For some reason, I just assumed you were a senior. You're a sophomore, so you have two more very exciting years to look forward to at the university.
Oh yes, I
now,
do.
Now what? Now you study voice as well as theater. What do you do in voice? In this, just so our listeners will get an idea of what that entails.
Okay, so a vocal performance major at UW takes music theory, music history. I have lessons in studio every week with my voice teacher, the amazing Mimi Fulmer. I am in choir, I just sing a lot. Lock myself in a practice room in the humanities basement, and I sing.
Mm. Oh, me. So, I was going to ask, but I can't ask you the question, because I thought you had done, 10 productions since you've been at the UW, but you haven't had time to do that many.
I've been fortunate to do 3 plays with the university. I was Olivia in Twelfth Night the Musical my freshman year. I was in Orlando as a chorus member, and I recently was Caroline Bingley in the production of Pride and Prejudice, which was a lot of fun. But I'm really excited to be here and branch out into the community. It's been really fun getting to work with actors who, are real adults. I love my college student friends, but getting to meet people in the community, meet directors, Sam D. White, it's been really cool, and it's been fun to play with these very different characters, especially ones where, boy, I don't think I would have been cast as boy if I had done the show at UW. I think it would have been cast with a guy, but getting to play the silly little guy, I named him Timothy, has been
so
really
what
cool.
So what are the dates? What are the dates for these performances?
Yes, Henry V will be at Downtown Madison's Bartell Theater May 2nd through 11th. 7 performance dates. You can get all the details on that at bartelltheater.org.
Okay. And I think we do have time for the last monologue, don't we?
Okay, we've got a little bit more from Josh as Henry. Yeah. Tell people how it be.
So a little bit of context.
There's no time.
All right, we'll just go then. The king is not bound to answer the particular endings of his soldiers, for they purpose not their death when they purpose their services. Besides, there is no king, be his cause never so spotless, if it come to the arbitrament of swords, can try it out with all unspotted soldiers. Some peradventure have on them the guilt of premeditated and contrived murder, some of beguiling virgins with the broken seals of perjury, some making the wars their bulwark, that have before gored the gentle bosom of peace with pillage and robbery. Now, if these men have defeated the law and outrun native punishment, though they can outstrip men, they have no wings to fly from God. War is his beetle. War is vengeance. Every subject's duty is the king's, but every subject's soul is his own.
That was, again, Joshua Woolfolk. And thank you so much, Sam White, director of Henry V, Joshua Woolfolk, who portrays Henry, Amelia Eichmeier, who plays many roles, and Jason Compton, producer of the show. Thank you so much, and I'm still trying to get a MacArthur Fellowship for Jason. So, join your energies with me. So let's invite you to next week's program, and we hope to see you all here again at the same time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melvin.
Thank you, Melvin.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Radio Literature, a weekly program on WORT 89.9 FM Madison. We are listener-sponsored community radio. Join us again next Thursday at 7:30 for more features of local, national, and international interest.
The High Noon Saloon presents Natty Nation's Almost 420 Reggae Party on Saturday, April 19th at 7 p.m. Natty Nation blends authentic reggae with elements of rock, soul, and funk to create a unique Midwestern sound. Natty are joined by Czar, a genre-bending collective that blends the sounds of psychedelic rock with groovy, rhythmic soul and funk, along with your hosts, DJs Trichome and VPS. More information can be found at high-noon.com. The High Noon Saloon presents Natty Nation's Almost 420 Reggae Party with special guests Czar and hosted by DJs Trichome and VPS on Saturday, April 19th at 7 p.m. at the High Noon Saloon. Live music lives at WORT Madison.